Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I'm James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. We are live on a Thursday night, 48 hours and change, or a little less than 48 hours out from our event over at Ellie's that we were excited about, of course, on Saturday night. But on this Thursday evening, checking in. Glenn, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, doing well. Hopefully, going to watch an Orioles series win tonight. They're going for the series win. It's a rubber game tonight. It's currently tied. Mm-hmm. in the bottom of the fourth inning, but for those O's fans out there, it was a heartbreaker a couple nights ago as they gave up Bautista gave up the lead in the ninth inning to a solo shot to the Judge, but came back last night. O's put up 8 runs in the seventh, I believe. Nice. And storm back and win in New York, so they're going for the series win. It's a good time in Baltimore, Jimbo. How can I complain?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you 100%. Every day there seems to be more and more steam behind the Orioles, and people are getting super excited about the Ravens. That's what we're here to talk about tonight, and super excited to do so. There was one other thing I was going to mention.
Well, but before you go any further, again, please come out on Saturday, even if you can only pop in for the beginning, the end, somewhere in the middle, get a chance to meet the Missile. Kadri Ismail will be in the building. If you're a 105.7 listener, Cordell Woodland will be in the building. And, of course, our guy, Tony Thornton from 98 Rock.
That's right.
So pop in, and we'll be there as well. You guys will get to see DK. I know everybody likes when they get to meet DK. He's usually in the background.
The man behind the curtain.
That's right. So please come out and have a beer with me. I know I'll at least have a couple set of bases.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Be sure to do so. The other thing I was going to mention, I got a little bit of a bee in my bonnet today, Glenn.
Uh-oh.
I got to tell you something.
What's going on, bro?
I think this is show worthy. You know what I'm really sick and tired of? Ravens related at all. But I run at the park at Patterson Park often, right?
Yeah.
I'm a local legend. And I'm actually a local legend of 5 segments at Patterson Park, but what I was really going to say is that if you cannot handle the size of your animal, your dog, do not adopt that dog. I am tired of seeing small people, both men and women, that have these massive dogs that they cannot control, and I just casually run by, and they're like, oh, nothing's going to happen. And this dog's head is the size of a beach ball. Like, what am I supposed to do? You couldn't control that dog if he decided to do anything. Like, what is this madness? Tonight, there was a lady with a, what are those German Shepherds on crack dogs?
The Malinois.
Yes. And it was an especially big one. Like, they're not generally like large, but it was an especially big one. And he was pissed and he was barking everywhere. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do about this? You obviously can't control your animal. Like,
yeah, and you're fast, Jimbo, but you ain't outrunning.
No, not a chance. I was trying to figure out the closest tree I could climb up. No joking.
No doubt. Yeah.
Anyway, I had to get off my chest because I was angry about it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And keep your dogs on a leash.
Yes.
I don't care how well behaved you think they are. They will run off if something too good to resist pops in front of them. So
yeah,
I'm with you. Yeah.
Anyway, now that I got that off my chest, let's talk some Ravens.
Yeah, I hope you feel better.
Yeah, Glenn, I think that where I want to start, tell me if you want to start somewhere different. I just want to start on the team's overall energy and comments and excitement about this offense. Has there been, obviously Lamar's talked about it. What have been some things that you've heard that, also get you excited?
Yeah, no doubt. Everyone I've heard, both players and media members, are all talking about the energy level that's been brought to this, the practice, to the meeting rooms, and to this team in general by new offensive coordinator Todd Monken. He is the almost the sole voice you hear apparently during the offensive drills at practice, and he's so detailed in how he wants things done, and I love that about him. He doesn't specifically, I think it was today or yesterday, they were running 18 yard routes, I believe it was. Somebody ran it 16 yards. No, you're gonna hear about it. Somebody ran it 17 yards. 18 yards. And how often, Jimbo, do we see, an out route supposed to be run to the sticks, come up a yard shy, or a stick route to, again, trying to move the chains, come up a yard shy. So I love, that's just one example of the attention to detail that Todd Monken's bringing it. And his energy level, I mean, he is not just that on the practice field. You know, Lamar Jackson says he brings that same energy to the meeting rooms, and how infectious that is, and how much fun everyone's having because of that energy. And Jimbo, I mean, you know this just as, you know, as much as anyone. When you're having fun doing something, learning is easier. Like when
easier.
I was never the best student, Jimbo. You know, I was the class clown. I was the goofball. But the class I did the best in was the only teacher who took the time to make the lessons fun, interesting. Like he was. I'll never forget Mr. Blott. Shout out to Mr. Blott. He was my man. And I got the best final. What's that? Your finals. I did the best in his class than any class I was in, because he made things fun. And I love hearing the Todd Monken's doing that, because when you're bored and it's monotonous and it gets old, that's not a good atmosphere for learning. But when you're having fun, you're involved, there's high energy, you're going to learn quicker, you're going to embrace it more. And when you hear Lamar Jackson, your quarterback has to be an extension of your coach. He has to be almost a coach on the field. So when I hear he's having fun, that just tells me he's going to have, you know, no problem learning, acclimating, getting up to speed on this offense, and then he'll be able to make sure other guys and hold other guys accountable.
Yeah, I agree with that. The thing I'll add to that as well is that gets me excited is Lamar's talked about how he's really given him the keys to the car, right? Like he's able to now tell him if you want to make adjustments, if you want a wide receiver to do this, if you see this or whatever the case may be, because we haven't seen, you know, what did Greg Roman always used to say? You know, he'd like to use the play clock as like an advantage for the Ravens to get up the line, be ready to go with a few seconds left, not allow the defense to adjust and things like that. And a lot of times, more than not, it bit us in the butt, I feel like. Maybe that's not the case if you actually look back. But I think it'll be fun to watch Lamar make some calls up there. And to, you know, because we just don't know that part of Lamar's game that well. We just haven't seen it. So it'll be exciting to see it. And, you know, I think obviously he's got it and he'll do great at it. But because we've seen in other ways, Lamar's been able to recognize defenses and put the ball in the right place. But this is just kind of a natural progression for him. And that's really exciting. Sarah Ellison put up a tweet, said Lamar Jackson said that Todd Monken is giving him the keys to the offense, right? You can change things when you want to. You see the defense and it's not looking right to you. You see some guys blitzing. You might want your wide receiver to do something different. Coach is giving you the free will to do whatever you want to do. Yeah, I think that's super awesome. Now, it's got to work, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, everybody at the end of the day has got to produce, which I don't doubt that will happen. But I think it's exciting because I think ultimately the communication, the over-communication, the energy, the positivity is going to be foundational for Lamar and Monken to have a successful marriage. They're tied to each other. To have a successful relationship together. I mean, that just is what it is, right? So that's getting me exciting, man.
Yeah, and I think you make a good point in that when Greg Roman had those kind of handcuffs on Lamar Jackson, anyone who was under center, it didn't allow, like, you know, Lamar Jackson, just one example, says he wants to run less this year. He wants to throw more. And that's the expectation going from a Greg Roman scheme to any other scheme in general, but certainly this one. I got to imagine that some of those runs, even under Greg Roman, when they were called passes, let's just say, for instance, say there's a pass and you see there's a blitzer coming and you know this play ain't going to work, but you can't change the damn play. So what does he do as soon as the ball snaps? He's looking to get the hell out of there because he knows there's a corner coming. So boom, now he's running off to the right. The whole play is essentially just become an unscripted play, all because he didn't have the power to make any checks, any changes. So this by itself will allow for just a more like an offense that looks like it's kind of like a puzzle that's all being put together. Like it just seems so disjointed at times last year. And I think that's one example of why, is because he had no control to make any changes, no matter what the defense was showing him. You know, if we're running the ball to the left and we see the defense shift and overload the left, he didn't have any. I mean, it's just crazy. He didn't have the control to make changes. So no, I think you're 100% right, Jimbo. That is extremely exciting. Now, like you said, he's got to make the correct calls, but I think part of, you know, one of his many superpowers, Lamar Jackson's superpowers, is I think his quick decision-making. So, it's evidenced in his red zone success. So I don't think he will have issues with those decision-making, issues.
Yeah, for sure. I think ultimately it's just if it's a ton of if thens. If he does this, then this. If he does this, then this. And yeah, I think Lamar, if anybody can shake somebody out of their shoes just out of instincts, I think it's the same thing. If he moves this way, I move that way. If, you know what I mean? You're just outthinking the guy faster and you're moving faster and in a decisive mm-hmm. way. So yeah, it's just another way of manifesting that same train of thought. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to see. What do you think about the comments Lamar has made about, run, like you said, running less, throwing more? What's your take on that overall? Do you think, I don't think Lamar is purposely like when he, like for example, when he said running can only take you so far, but in today's day and age, you need to be able to pass the ball, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they were shots at Greg, right?
Right.
I don't think he meant anything bad by it. Like, I don't think he was trying to kick a guy while he's down. Right. But what was your take on the run less, throw more, to get you concerned at all?
No, I tell you why it doesn't get me concerned, Jim. I think his number of carries will go down, but I think his average per carry will go up. I think that we will see, and you will see less of those in between the tackles, those super high, mm-hmm. you know, impact runs. And I think we'll see less runs for bigger chunks because of the spacing that Monken's bringing, because of the fact that he has just so many better weapons around him that garner the respect of the defense, which will, you know, just by that allow more spacing around him. I don't think we'll continue to see him used as a battering ram, but I do think he'll have still many opportunities to take off and show another one of his superpowers, his legs, because that's what makes him so special and so sensational. He's not just a statue in the pocket. So I hope we don't see an eliminate, and I have no worry that we will. I don't think we'll see an elimination of that part of his game, but we'll see is, you know, less opportunity for him to have to get beat up on the inside when he's running in between the tackles.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you there, and that's what I'm hoping for as well. So that's exciting stuff. Now, when I think of running less and throwing more, I don't just think of Lamar, but what do you think of the impact it'll have on a J.K. Dobbins, on a Gus Edwards? Is there any negative impact that it could have on these guys that could ultimately be to the detriment of the offense?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jim. I think it won't be to the detriment of the offense, but I think we could see a regression. Like, we saw second and third running backs on this team get 750 for the second and 500 yards for the third running back. You're not going to see that anymore, obviously. You're not going to see and without an injury to Gus or JK, or maybe even might have to even be both of them, mm-hmm. I don't think we'll see a huge increase in Justice Hill's. Like, I don't think he's going to have a huge yardage total from on the ground standpoint. We will see more catches, but I don't think we'll see much more on the ground. And I do think Gus, unless JK were to get banged up, will lose some carries, and that could mean he loses some yards. But I think both and everyone are going to get an uptick in pass completions. And mm-hmm. I think that if you look at total yards, I don't see there being an issue with them getting even more than they had under Greg Roman. Only because if you look at all the running backs around the league, Jimbo, they typically don't have long, like, yardage-wise catches. Like, the ball doesn't travel far in the air. They get all their yards off of get the ball in their hands, and they make it happen. You know, oftentimes they're short passes or behind the line of scrimmage. So they had almost nothing when they were here. Like, JK and Gus had no catches. So just the fact that they're going to have a normal allotment of catches as a running back, which everyone in the league is doing, I think will make up for what they'll lose in rushing yards. They'll more than gain back in pass receiving yards.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Ultimately, it's just having a chance to get the ball in your hands is what I think these guys are looking for. So however that manifests itself is not the issue. It's just about getting the ball, getting in space, and being allowed to do some work. So that's going to be exciting stuff. Well, the other thing I want to kind of transition to is the brief news on Tony Jefferson, right? I think this is also cool and noteworthy that Tony Jefferson is officially, after 9 years, retired from the NFL as a player, and has officially begun his career in the scouting department for the Baltimore Ravens. So shout out to Tony Jefferson on a great career.
No doubt. Yeah,
super
buddy.
Happy for him. And, you know, he got his
9 years, Jimbo, as an undrafted free. I mean, come on.
And one big contract.
And that's all it takes to set up your family for life. So
that's right.
Yeah. Shout out to him. He was always a great guy in the community. Always fantastic in the locker room. He's a good interview. So yeah, happy for him. And I mean, what does that say for the organization, right? I mean, this guy wants to stick around and wants to continue to be a part of the Ravens. And I think that's just another testament of what, you know, the culture and everything that's been built here in Baltimore. So shout out to him. And then also, in a much more somber note, Jimbo, I don't know if you saw, but it looks like James Prochet lost his mother.
Yeah,
tweeted a picture about it, and man, it's tough. So, you know, certainly hope for, you know, that he can find some sort of relief in a time that I'm sure he's having a really, really tough time. I'm sure his family's having a really tough time. Anytime you lose a parent, it's, you know, almost as bad as it gets. So, yeah. So, hope he you know, can bounce back and recover, but I know he's going through a lot. So just wanted to mention James Prochet and his family.
100%, 100%. Wishing for, I just said 100%.
Oh, we're going to get you on a shirt.
Yeah, wishing for the best for them. Speaking of shirts, Glenn, I got to give a shout out real quick
to one of our
recent partners or contributors to the show, Route One Apparel. Here, they're here based in Baltimore. Makes these awesome shirts. If you guys notice, if I can move my microphone out of the way, this is an 8, and on the back you have the three great 8s in Baltimore. If you can see them very well, it's Alex Ovechkin, it's Cal Ripken, and of course the one only Lamar Jackson. If you want something like this, I'm going to be supporting mine on Saturday because you can get a good look at it. But check out route1apparel.com. They were gracious enough to give us some free swag. I got some stuff for Glenn and DK as well. So shout out to them. But yeah, go check it out. They got some really cool stuff there, and appreciate the swag.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, it's crazy. I just saw on Get Up, Greeny. You know, and Jesse, this was like a month ago now, but Greeny did a book with one of the guys in the back, Hembo, I think his name is.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about the greatest players at every number. And they went all the way 1 through 100.
Oh,
and
right.
And they named it. And just as an example, he said, let's just throw one up and we'll let the panel discuss it. And he threw up the number 8. They didn't even bring up Ovechkin.
Wow. Who were the people they brought up?
I mean, it was a Cal, of course.
Does Kobe remember. Get brought up?
Oh, Kobe got brought up. One person voted for Kobe, even though he split numbers in you know, 8 and 24.
Yeah.
But it was a bunch. But Ovechkin was not brought up. I'm like, this guy's about to break the damn scoring record for NHL, and he wasn't right. even mentioned? Like, right. it absolutely blew my mind. He's not a Baltimore guy, but Ovechkin's as close to, you know, hometown hockey star as I've had.
Right,
got a jersey hanging in my closet right there with his name on the back, and so I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, Steve Young, he was another guy they did mention. Yeah. So they mentioned Young, they mentioned Cal, but how do you not even bring up Alexander Ovechkin?
Like, yeah, that's pretty crazy.
I mean, he's about to break the record that everyone said was unbreakable. Gretzky's score.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. So, anyway, that was just a side note. I'm like, are you kidding me, ESPN? Like, I know we hate on hockey, but damn.
Yeah, somebody's got to make it. I mean, certainly if it's something as insurmountable as that, right, as unlikely as that.
No doubt, no doubt. But I wanted to get back to, and I think this is something you mentioned actually in the pregame show, or the pre-show, I should say, is the difference in weapons here, you know, this year as opposed to the last few years. And I think this is a good way to kind of display this is... Let me show. I'm gonna bring up a tweet that Sarah Ellison put out because it really just kind of emphasizes the point of how much better they are in skill position talent than they were not long ago. And in fact, not you know where they were when they were winning a lot of football games and Lamar Jackson was winning MVP of this league. So I'm putting it up now.
Yeah.
But as you can see here, Lamar Jackson was the unanimous MVP, throwing to a rookie Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, Seth Roberts, Miles Boykin, and Chris Moore.
Mm.
Now he'll be thrown to OBJ, Rashad Bateman, Zay Flowers, Nelson Agholor, and Devin Duvernay. I mean, that is just a massive, giant, like, every one of them, if you lined it up, 1-to-1, 2-to-2, 3-to, every single one is a massive improvement and upgrade.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not even not even disputable, right?
Yeah, no.
I mean, is there anything that anyone could say that, I mean, is Hollywood better than, Yeah. No, I'm with you 100%. This is just incredible. Lamar is smiling from ear to ear. He's so much happier. His demeanor. Now, look, the money in his pocket ain't hurting either. But I think from a football standpoint, I firmly believe this. One thing Joe Flacco used to say all the time is like, when you get out on the field, it doesn't matter. Like, football is just football. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter how much you're being paid or not being paid or whatever. Like, football is football. So when Lamar's out there and he sees all these guys that he can throw the football to, man, it's got to be exciting. And I guess this is really what I wanted to get into is, have we ever had this much excitement around a whole offense, not a singular player, but a whole offense ever here in Baltimore going into a season? I would say no, but because people have seen what Lamar is. They've seen him be an MVP. We have never seen him with this stall. We've never seen any Ravens team with this unit of wide receivers. You got the all pro tight end. You got the rookie tight ends, you know, the second year tight ends that had solid rookie showings based on health and when they were available. You got the backs and you got the offensive line basically intact. I mean, have we ever seen a guy? So yeah, look at that, man. I mean, he's just a kid in a candy shop, yeah, right? Like how excited is Lamar Jackson right now? And has there ever been more steam behind an offense ever in the history of this team? I mean, what do you think?
You know, I was just trying to think back, and if there has ever been more hype, the only thing I think would be close, but I think it still falls short is when Kubiak was brought in. I know everybody was, you know, super excited. We're going to see Joe's best year. And I think he probably did have his best year under Kubiak. But to your point, Jimbo, when you talk about the heights we've already seen from Lamar Jackson, I don't think as excited as we've ever been about an offense, we've ever thought this offense could be number one. Like, we've never mm-hmm. we were never like, oh, Joe could get us to number one. Like, if we were a top 10 offense under Joe, it was like, that's pretty damn good because we got a good defense. Like, when you get hype about this and you got, you know, hopes and dreams about this offense, you can legitimately say, we got a shot to be the best offense. Like, that, because we've done it. So with this exact quarterback, so and with way worse weapons. So no, I don't think there's ever been a time that's more exciting. There's just no way you could have ever guessed that the collection of talent we had here previously could have reached the heights that this team could very well reach. And then you couple that with the defense that's supposed to be, you know, that looks to be top 10 and possibly, you know, I think top 10, I'm just kind of being, you know, I'm being reserved here. I think it could be very high in that top mm-hmm. 10 and then mm-hmm. the best special teams in the game. So that, yeah, this is a lot of excitement. By the way, in the chat, for those wondering, O's are up 1-0 right now in the fifth inning, bottom of the fifth, two outs right now for the Yankees, but the O's are up 1-0.
Nice. No, that's awesome. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited for this offense. And one of the things I got to talk about as well, let's talk about the O-line because I got some, let me pull this up real quick. I just saw this and I think it's really interesting. I saw the PFF top 10 offensive linemen.
Was it offensive lines or just linemen, like individuals?
Individuals.
Okay.
Let's see. Gosh, dang it. Let me find it. But the point is they left Ronnie Stanley off the list.
Okay.
And so I want to get your take. Let me get the list. But do you think it's pretty criminal to leave Stanley off the list? Or do you think that because he was coming back from the injury and, you know, there's a little bit of like the shared roles at the beginning of the season, if you remember that and all those things. Do you think Stanley deserved to be on the list?
Well, I guess I'd have to see the list, but I will say that I think he's a top 10 lineman. I mean, I think he's, you know, maybe Trent Williams, I would give Trent Williams.
He's number one on this list. I do remember that.
Yeah. Trent Williams is the best left tackle in football, but there's not, I know Bakhtiari gets a lot of love as a left tackle, but you talk about injury issues. He's had more, you know, or just as many. So, man, I got to say, I think that I'd be hard-pressed to think of another left tackle that I would take over Ronnie Stanley. I know Taron Armstead.
Okay, and it gets, here you go, it gets even worse. I apologize. It's top 10 offensive tackles, not even linemen.
Well, let me guess. So you're going to have Trent Williams, right? You're going to have
Trent's number one.
You're going to have Lane Johnson.
Number two.
Okay, you're going to have Taron Armstead somewhere in there.
Armstead doesn't.
Who's the guy who smoked with the mask?
Tunsil's number three.
Okay, so I'm 3 for 3. All right, yep. Who else would be higher than Ronnie after that? All right, give me the list.
Okay, so Andrew Thomas.
Orlando Brown better not be on this list.
He's not. Not that I can see. Andrew Thomas, okay. New York Giants. Yep. Christian Darrisaw, Minnesota Vikings.
Man, come on. Yeah. Put Darrisaw up there above. All right.
Yeah, what Jordan else? Mailata, Philadelphia Eagles. Tristan Wirfs, Tampa Bay Bucks. Colton Miller, Raiders. Rashawn Slater, Chargers. Penei Sewell.
Slater?
Yeah, Sewell comes in at 10. And Ronnie is 12. Yeah, Orlando Brown Jr., 14.
That's fine. That's fine. No, Zeus is not better than Ronnie.
No, he's 14.
No, Zeus, I'm talking about, that's in the comments section.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see that. Yeah, not. When that, if health isn't a thing, come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's outrageous.
Zeus?
He's a good
left. If he was so damn good, why the hell did Chiefs not pay him after they gave up all that to go get him?
Right.
They let him leave.
That's a clear indictment. Go ahead, Bengals. You can
pay Tunsil, him. Now, Tunsil's a good player. I can't hate on him. And
he's highly penalized, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he'll get his hands on you. But, you know, you got to give him credit. I'm not here to just, just be ridiculous here. But yeah, those two guys, Slater and who else was the other?
Darrisaw?
They're so young. It's like, what have they done? I mean, you're talking about all pro, best season that's ever been had by a left tackle is what Ronnie's done in 2019. I mean, yeah. This guy was the best of the best. Like, he had a better season than Ogden ever had. Like,
right.
And now we're putting a couple of young cats up there. Come on. That's nonsense.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to get that. Because I don't know what the breakdown list is. There's no way to me Ronnie's outside of the top 10. But the other piece that I really want to get to is I've heard great things as early as it is about one Ben Cleveland, that left guard.
Did you see the picture of him?
I did not. Can someone find it?
Dude, I saw it earlier. Let me see if I can find it.
He's in phenomenal shape, right?
Dude, he's so huge. Like, you see his legs out of the football pants, what's not covered by the football pants and the socks.
Oh,
he's
my
just got
God.
Veins popping out of his legs. Like, it's not your legs.
Yeah,
shouldn't
it's
look
not
like
normal.
That. No, he is huge. It's like, if this guy isn't. He's got to be good. Like, his body is ridiculous. Like, you shouldn't be that heavy and have no gut.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah. It's pretty insane. I'll show the picture, but Ronnie, Ravens O's Nation says Ronnie's a top 5 left tackle at worst. Give me a break. Yeah. I can't argue with that. I wouldn't slide Ronnie past 5 in my opinion either.
Yeah.
I think that's a walk in the park. For Ronnie Stanley. But I think this is the picture you're referencing.
Let me see. Yes.
I mean,
come on, dude. He is just, look at his legs.
Yeah, it's insane. Now this one, but I mean, look at the arms, dude, and the legs. You're right. Yeah. Has anyone seen, what's his name? The offensive lineman we had last year coming off the Achilles, Juwan James.
Oh yeah.
Dude, the difference between his legs, dude, and Ben Cleveland's
his legs look like my legs. That's not a compliment.
Like, he's got, dude, Juwan James got Kevin Durant legs, dude. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So, but we're hearing good things. Are you excited? Are you telling people to pump the brakes because it's OTAs? Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. But this is his year. This is the year. Look, we thought that, Ben Powers was pretty much washed and it was going to be, finding himself a different profession. But in his third year, he exploded and earned a ton and ton of money. So maybe that's what's incoming for Ben Cleveland. So,
year, right? Do I have the math wrong? In his contract year, right? Ben Cleveland? Fourth year.
Was it his fourth year? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? But I thought he was a late pick. So he only.
Right. So that would be the last year of his deal was year 4.
Is that right? Okay.
Right. I believe. Well, either way, I understand your point. In that contract year, when he was supposed to hit it.
When he was supposed to do it.
Yeah, and this is year 3 for Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's going to have the opportunity to win the job. Because what I'm hearing is Falele's been working primarily as a right tackle, which is what we expected him to take over eventually for Morgan Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in. Oh, I wanted to mention him.
Oh, right. The Bears guy?
Yeah, the center. Well, they brought in the center. who played, I think he said 34 starts at center, which if that's your backup, that's a heck of an experienced backup. But when John was asked if he had any, if he was going to be competing at left guard, John was very clear as they look at him as the backup center. So if he's the backup center, he's not competing for left guard. We see Faalele primarily. He's working at right tackle. Who is the competition right now? I mean, I guess it's McCary, but I think they want him to remain in that super swing role. So who is really competing for left guard? I mean, I guess maybe Salah, but I still look at him as a right tackle. I mean, more of a tackle prospect, but he can bend. So maybe they look at kicking him into guard. Who do you look at as the real competition?
There's no way Ben Cleveland looks at Salah. Look, I love the kid.
Yeah.
He's a teddy bear right now. He's fresh out of college. He's got that soft underbelly.
He's got baby fat. Yeah.
Got that soft underbelly. And let me tell you what, if Ben Cleveland loses his job.
It's an indictment.
No offense. I'm excited for Salah. Like, no one's knocking him here. But Ben has had 2 years in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an absolute mammoth. You're right. I mean, this would be an absolute indictment on him if he loses that job, right?
Yeah. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have 1 year of overlap with Monken and Cleveland at Georgia? Which
I
would mean
so. Yep.
He has familiarity already, you know, with Monken, which gives him a leg up, you know, amongst the competition for the left guard spot as well.
Right.
But let me ask you this, Jimbo. If McCary looks like the better option, but it's not like a huge leap. And maybe it's like he's better in that he doesn't have any mental mistakes. But if they're both playing their best, I give a slight edge to Cleveland. But at least we know if McCary's out there, he won't have any blown assignments. We'll never miss. He's super tough. If they say if they had to rank him and they say, McCary's a little bit better, would you be in favor of them putting McCary in and getting their best five on the field day one, or leave McCary as that super flexible piece?
I think that if it's marginal and you got a true backup center, then if you got a true backup center, I think that you put McCary in at left guard. If you feel good about your backup center, because then you got viable options. If McCary stays at guard and one of the tackles goes down, I think you got some viable options there because you got, you talked about Salah, but at least at right tackle, you got Faalele. If Moses goes down, excuse me, and I'm trying to think who our options would be left. Faalele has also played some left in an emergency situation. So either way, it would be patchwork. Salah could plug in there. But I think you have some more bodies you could throw out there. And then ultimately, you could move McCary out to say, left tackle, for example. I hope I'm not manifesting anything. And then you could put Faalele on the inside if it's Morgan that's healthy and Ronnie that goes down. So you could put Faalele in at the guard. Or Ben, excuse me. You could put Ben there and then move McCary over. So I think if it's not convincing, you put McCary out there because he's better. As long as you feel good in your backup center. But if you do not feel good about your backup center, you got to keep McCary healthy.
Okay. Yeah, that's my thought. Yeah, because, I mean, if Ronnie were to go down mid-game, in my opinion, they're putting McCary in there mid-game. Yeah. Now, if you have a week to prepare, maybe you go Faalele. But if it happens in-game, I think the guy they trust the most is going to be – oh, you know what's crazy? And I'm so glad somebody mentioned it in the chat. There we go. John Parsons, shout out to John, who mentioned in the chat, because I remember John Harbaugh talking about this guy. And Jimbo, I remember this guy when we were doing our pre-draft, we were digging into the draft back in 2020, and John Simpson was signed to the Ravens, who's drafted in 2020 in the fourth round out of Clemson. I'm sure if you looked at him, you'd remember him, Jimbo, because it's a guy we talked about during that draft process. He's 6'4", he's 330 pounds. He's currently listed as the backup left guard under Our Lads. Now, if you go to ESPN, they don't have him listed there yet, but I know Our Lads does a really good job of keeping up with that. So, and with the fact that John Harbaugh, was asked about him and talked about how happy he is that he's here, it looks like that right now is the main competition. It's John Simpson, which, by the way, is awesome because he's 25 years old, a fourth round pick just a couple years ago. So this isn't like a guy who's, we've seen his ceiling and we know what he can do. And this is, as good as it gets. We don't even know what this guy can do. He's 6'4", 330 pounds.
Right.
But he's only 25 years old, Jimbo.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. I'm excited about that as well. I do recall that guy. And I'm looking forward to it. So we have some serious depth on the O-line. I know that, you know, I'm really excited overall about this, the majority, the core of this unit coming back. Do you feel, I think this is probably an easy answer. How do you feel the offensive line makeup? Like, we have some athletic guys on the outside. We have a really athletic guard, or excuse me, center. Do you think that bodes well for Monken's offense? Do you think he considers that, right? He's like, okay, I've got all these weapons, but I also need to consider the guys in front of Lamar. Like, can they move? You know, are they road graders? How will that end up shaping this offense, in your opinion? And do you think it, you know, having those athletic guys is good? Or you think, you know, Monken maybe stylistically is like, man, I'd rather have some guys that can just lay the wood, right?
Yeah, I think you're right in that each scheme would have different preferences in their linemen. Like, yeah, zone blocking scheme wants the, you know, typically the smaller, quicker foot guys that can get out and move. And then, you know, more of the power scheme just want to hit you in the mouth and knock you off the ball and not really worried how much you can move in space. But I guess right now it's kind of wait and see what Todd wants to do. I will say that when they asked Tyler Linderbaum in his most recent press conference a couple of days ago, he was asked about, you know, the difference in philosophy and how that changes his job and how he does things. And what I garnered from his answer was basically that their mentality and their way of, their way of looking at offensive linemen is more of, it's more of like the structure of the team. And this is more John's outlook on, he wants big, he wants strong, but he wants guys that can move their feet as well. And I think that's more of a philosophy that's just the Ravens in general. And Todd's going to have to, you know, kind of fit his scheme around, you know, how they want to draft big, strong guys up front. But I got to imagine every offense would look good with a big, strong, athletic lineman in front of you. It's just typically you don't find all three of those things in one package. Mm-hmm. Usually the guy's too small to be considered big and strong, or he's too sluggish to be considered athletic enough if he is big enough. So I think any offense would do well with a big, strong, athletic lineman. It's just most of the time you can't find all those in one player outside like first rounders.
Right. Absolutely. And I think the nice part about this offensive line is that whatever their makeup is or preferences are as players, you got a solid group of young guys and vets. I mean, if you think of right tackle, Morgan Moses is a vet. He's played in a lot of offenses. Same thing with Zeidler's played in a number of offenses. Same thing, you know, Ronnie's a vet at this point, played in a number of different schemes, even here in Baltimore. And then really all you got to, you know, Tyler, of course, is a younger guy, but really the two, presumably the only two young guys will be center and left guard. And Tyler has already shown that, like, I have no concerns about Linderbaum, right? Zero. Like, yeah, absolutely not. The dude just loves ball and is a, I mean, I was shocked he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year. I think it was a serious snub.
The center position's deep nowadays, Jimbo. There's a lot of good centers around the league, which is kind of crazy because it didn't always be that. It wasn't always like that.
Well, he's top two and he ain't two.
I know. That's right. That's our guy. That's our guy. But just think about it. It's like, you got Creed Humphrey who stormed. It was immediately good. You got, what's that, Lindsay?
But no one ever calls holding on Kansas City offensive lineman. Like, let's just say what it is. Like, when's the last time you saw a holding penalty called on any offensive lineman from the Kansas City Chiefs?
That damn Patty Mahomes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, anyway, baby.
Sorry, I cut you off there, but.
No, yeah. I can see the passion. It was lighting your face up.
I mean, it's true, though. Like, dude, you said you count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four. You get to five Mississippi. You're telling me you didn't miss eight holding penalties? Yeah, right, dude. You could have so much laundry on that field. You could start a laundromat business on the sideline and be raking it in.
Well, look, they might have been stuck in Orlando Brown's belly button.
That's true. Okay? Yeah.
Get lost in there for at least a couple.
Roger Goodell's in the ref's earpiece like, don't call that one. Don't call that one. Don't call that one. Don't you dare. Like,
take that whistle out of your mouth.
Yeah. You want to get fired? You want a paycheck, son? Like, gosh. Anyway, but you're right. It is deep. But don't be surprised if Linderbaum goes from not making the Pro Bowl to the All-Pro. Like, don't be surprised. He can absolutely do that. All that is out in front. I don't care what anyone says. I think he's the best at his position. I think he has the most potential at his position. And, I'm excited for him.
Yeah. I think this offensive line has a chance to be top you know, certainly top five, top three in the league. And that's good enough in my book when you got those guys 100%. Around that offensive line.
100%.
So yeah, this is, I think I'm more concerned with the defensive line than the offensive line, but they did bolster and get some, they got some talent on the, let me see here. I'm going to try and pull it up, but they just grabbed a defensive tackle. I think it's getting people excited, Jimbo. This guy may not, like, he's not going to be the guy that, you know, he's a high motor. He's big. He's strong. He plays hard. He's not going to be a guy that gets you a ton of sacks from the interior. But I'm trying to find, I know Roquan Smith was talking about it, and he was raving about, you know, being reunited with this guy from their time in Chicago. He talks about how he runs to the ball. He plays hard. And just, there was a clip that just showed what you're getting, in, his name is Angelo Blackson, by the way. He's a veteran D tackle.
30 at this point, I believe he's 30 years old.
Yeah. And he, let's see, he's played in 32 games over the last two seasons. So this isn't a guy who, you know, lacks in playing experience, but there was just a quick little clip, and I can't find it now, but it had a bunch of examples of how hard this guy plays. There's one where he, you know, he rushes up the middle, and the running back ends up going to the outside, or I think it was a quick throw to the outside. This guy turned around, hauled ass 20 yards, and took down the ball carrier. I think the Ravens love guys that play with a high motor, and of course that play well against them. So I'm excited. They bring in Blackson, who they definitely needed depth at that position. So let's see what this guy can do, and hope that Roquan was right in hyping up Mr. Angelo here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, depth. That's the name of the game. And in fact, Glenn, I got to tell you something that I've been thinking about. I know we're going to talk about him. We can come back to Angelo, but there's something about PQ I've been thinking about. Remember how before I said that Eric's comments were trying to kind of increase his value for trade bait?
Mm-hmm.
I am firmly... So, like, 2 weeks ago, I thought of this. And I've been forgetting about it every single show we've had, but I remembered it, and I know we talked about talking about PQ on the show, so I want to mention this now before I forget. This is not true. I am vehemently against my previous comments. This is, I could never be a politician. Actually, maybe that would make me a good politician, right? Like, just...
Well, at least you'd be willing to come off of a bad idea.
Yeah, so this is why. Let me tell you why. Because Eric got bit in the butt with not having enough contingency plans last year. Mm-hmm. Remember what happened when Bateman went down? It was an absolute dumpster fire, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you got DeMarcus Robinson as your number one, no knock on DeMarcus. Like, we appreciate what he did here, but anytime he's your number one, you got problems.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Eric is not going to repeat that mistake at any position. So I think that the idea is contingencies on contingencies, right? Like, obviously I think he's going to play well next to Roquan, but heaven forbid Roquan goes down. We can't be picking guys up off the street and expecting them to, you know, maintain that anything close to a high level of play. It's obviously already going to be a drop off from Roquan to PQ if he steps into that role. But ultimately I think he's here because they're not going to let this happen again, where it's like, you got one stalwart and then, you know, there's a huge gap between one and two. It cannot happen again. I think Eric refuses to repeat that mistake. So I'm taking back my comment.
Yeah. I love the fact that he's raising the floor of this team. Like,
yep.
He's tired. He don't want to have a low floor. Yeah. Close the gap between your starters and your backups. Every roster position can be proven to be vital. You know, you have one weak position, Jimbo. How often does that position get exposed? Like, it just seems like, you know, last year with the Ravens receiving core, of course Bateman gets hurt, right? Because he was the one guy they couldn't afford to get hurt. Because if he got hurt, everything else, you know, was kind of in shambles. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's excellent idea to continue to build this roster, even when you're talking at the back end of the roster, 40 through 53, need to be just as strong as you can get them to be, because you're only as worse as your weak, or as good as your weakest link, as they say. So let's be good everywhere. Now, another addition that I think Ravens fans are hopeful for, which gained a little bit of traction as of late, was Marcus Peters. He recently commented on a Lamar Jackson post when he said, Lamar Jackson said something about great being back out here, and he had a picture of himself on the practice field. And Marcus Peters commented, "Miss my folks," he says. Hmm. So does that mean that he's missing in them as in you know, good riddance, or like, I won't see you again, or bring me back. I miss y'all. Like, what'd you get out of that?
Yeah, I take it as, I mean, the latter. I think that's, I think Marcus is saying, hey, come get me. Like, I'm out here ready to go. I'm interested to know what his price tag is. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if Eric's going to be in such a rush, because the longer he waits, I'm assuming the lower that price tag gets, right? So, like, why why jump now? But well, I'd love to have Marcus back, man. I'd love – I mean, I know everybody's excited about Rocky Asin, and I am as well, but, man, Marcus is just Marcus is a playmaker, a difference maker. He's such a momentum changer of the game, and a raven in every sense of the word, that, yeah, I'd love to have Marcus back.
Yeah, me too. I think he'd be an excellent add. And for all those saying he's washed and he's old and he's this, here we go. DK puts up, yep, miss my folks down at the bottom, Juice Man. Anyone who's saying he's washed and he gave up this, he gave up that, look at every player in the history of the league in their first year after their ACL, and then look at them in their second year after the ACL repair. It is a massive jump. And I think we all saw Marcus Peters improving as the season went on. I think the most important thing is we didn't see any setbacks. He played throughout the final. You know, whenever he came back, he continued to play. He played well, played throughout the rest of the season. And I think everyone's is so hyped for JK in his second year after the ACL. Everybody's so hyped for Gus and OBJ. Be hyped like that for Marcus Peters. He ain't done. He just had an ACL repair. So let's, if he comes back, I expect him to play at a very, very high level, continue to bring that swag he's been bringing since he's gotten the league. And yeah, I disagree with those saying he was washed.
Yeah, I also disagree. I mean, you got to give it time. He was fresh off that injury. And you just got to give it some time, especially at the position he plays. He's not dropping back. He's not just going straight forward and backwards. I mean, you know, the demands of that position and his knee are just incredible, right? So I'm hoping that Marcus ends up back here.
No doubt. I think the defense is too. I think they miss him.
Yeah, for sure. Glenn, this is the other question I got to ask you. At Ellie's on Saturday night, are you getting chicken tenders again?
I might. Yeah, they were good. Yeah. I almost choked on a fry, but yeah, the tenders were good. I got to eat something. I'll see what's on. I might get a burger.
There you go. It's
been a while since I had a burger. Here they got good burger. Let's check out the burger. But there you go. I know I'm going to have a couple brewskis. You know, got to have a couple tall ones. Yeah. I'll have a driver, so no worries. You don't have to drive me home, Jimbo. You don't have to hold my hair back, you know, in case I'm hugging the old porcelain throne there. But I tell you what, I can't wait for this event. I think it was so cool meeting so many of you guys that came out and were able to say hi. But now you'll have the opportunity to meet the missile, and I think that is just so cool. I know, you know, growing up, I mean, look, when I was watching that first Super Bowl, I got Kadri making plays, man. I went back. I showed my son a highlight reel from Kadri, and you know, a lot of his time from when he was with the Vikings. And then now he comes over here, and of course he absolutely balled out as a Raven. But I can't wait, Jimbo. How about you?
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I'm excited to. And then Cordell's an exciting one too, because we haven't had the opportunity to interact with Cordell that much as of late, and he's just a great follow. He's hilarious on Twitter. He's great on his show.
He's talented.
The thing I like about Cordell is that he doesn't back down off his opinions to anyone.
No.
And it doesn't matter how long you've been on the radio. He doesn't care.
That's right.
And his opinions are his opinions. And so I'm excited. I don't know if I disagree on any of his opinions thus far. But
there might be a couple, but that's good.
Yeah, exactly. That's the fun of it, right? Yeah. And the really cool thing as well, guys, is that last time, you know, because it was the draft, it was a bit of a different format than this one is going to be much more interactive. We're going to take questions. If we got one free mic, we'll probably allow you to come up to the mic and just ask your question and have that conversation. And we can do some of those things. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And like Glenn said, I mean, if you don't care about us, we've got a Super Bowl winning wide receiver out there for the Baltimore Ravens, Kadri Ismail. So we won't get offended. It's okay.
And we get to see our guy, Tony. I mean, our guy, Tony. Talk about a radio voice. This man was made to be on 98 Rock. There's no doubt about it, but also good friend of ours. So, man, this is going to be such a cool event. Last time it kind of went beyond our expectations. Shout out to DK for really being, I mean, my goodness, the role he played that day, Jimbo, making us look a lot better. Because my head was spinning when I got there.
Yeah, absolutely. That was huge. He really did save our butts on that one. And
and shout out to Dr. Uncle Bob as well, who also came in clutch.
Is he coming up, dude?
He's got gigs. He can't.
Oh, it's a Saturday. That makes sense.
It makes it tough for him. Yeah. Thursday was much easier, but Saturday he's typically booked this time of year. But shout out to Dr. Uncle Bob.
Yeah, fair enough. No, definitely coming in clutch as well. So I think that's all for us tonight. It was an absolute blast. Make sure to come join us, Ellie's guys. We're really excited about it. So, you know, come join us and hang out. Other than that, Glenn, it's been real. It's been fun. Another Thursday night talking about the Ravens.
Let's go O's too.
And let's go O's. That's right. And yeah, like I said, can't wait to pick up the conversation on Saturday and keep digging into it. We'll get some way too early predictions from these guys. We'll get some hot takes from them. I'm sure we'll get some good, heated, fun conversations out of that. Maybe we'll make some friendly wagers as well. All of the above. I'm looking forward to it. So come join us. Have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you on Saturday.
See you.